Howdy folks, this is Shane. Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. It's now May 5, 2017. The year is almost half over already. Where's the time gone? The older I get, the faster the years go. There's no doubt about it. For those watching on YouTube who might not know, this is the number one most viewed guitar podcast on YouTube. So thank you so much for all your support. If you do want to listen to it in just audio form, head over to inthebluespodcast.com. Or you can go to iTunes or any of those podcatching software and type in the Blues, and you can download it for free and listen for free as well. This particular podcast is sponsored by, well, nobody, I guess, just me right now. That may change in the future. If it does, I'll keep everyone updated on the progress of that. I'm actually looking to partner with a couple of companies right now to help the channel grow in all good ways, so it works out well. For those who don't know, the new Mustang amps aren't too far away, at least here in Australia. Odds are they're probably already released in other parts of the world. It takes sometimes a little bit longer for things to get to Australia. That said, I'm actually kind of looking forward to checking them out. Initially, when I first saw them, I didn't really like the cosmetic look of them in terms of just their overall Bluetooth speaker kind of vibe look. But you know what? It's actually grown on me. Looking at them compared to the old models, visually at least, they look pretty cool, I gotta say. They look kind of like the FM series amps, but a little more square. So, you know, that's not so bad. So with this new range of amplifiers, there's three this time around. We have a GT40, a GT100, and the GT200. Now, something very interesting with the GT40, it's actually loaded with two 6.5-inch speakers, which is totally random, but it might make the perfect desk amp. You know, you got to think about that. There's not everyone needs an amp to go on the floor. Kind of like the Fender Greta, you could just leave it on your desk or whatever and jam out from time to time. Odds are that's aimed at people like that who just want to practice in an apartment and don't really play out live or whatever. The GT100 is where kind of like the real amps of this edition start. 100 watts, single 12-inch Celestion, and plenty of presets and effects. The GT200 is essentially the same thing, only 200 watts, and it actually has an extra speaker, so you're getting a 212 amplifier. And yeah, I think if I was to buy one of these, I'd either get the GT200 or the GT100. Basically because I'll know they're loud enough for me to take out and play live. Each of these amps feature 21 amp models and 45 different effects, so they're packed. From what I could see on the demo that's been posted online, a lot of the effects are actually the same. They've made some changes to the amps from what I can tell, but the majority of the actual amp sims look pretty similar. There are a few extra ones in there. I think I saw the Excelsior and a few other amps, so odds are they'll probably include a few new ones, but most of the effects and all that kind of stuff will be the same. One of the cool things worth mentioning is on these particular amps, say you've got a delay set up on one patch that you've made, and then you swap to a different patch. On the older amps, the delay would just stop as soon as you click the button to the next patch. I'm under the impression that these new ones will actually keep the trail of that delay going until it would actually fade out, so it doesn't sound so jarring when you swap effects. I think that's a really cool addition. How different do I expect these to sound to the previous models? Probably not a lot. I'm under the impression that they've reused a lot of the same effects. They say they might have tweaked them slightly, but that said, they might have just tweaked some of the patches. You might be wondering whether or not I'll actually buy one of these amps. I'm not 100% certain. All I know is right now, when I have a chance to test one out, I'm definitely going to go do that. And hopefully the stock presets are a little better than last time. Hopefully they actually use some of mine in there. I know they won't, but if they did, that would probably be a really cool thing for them to do. My actual Fender Fuse patches are some of the most downloaded in the world, and some of the most highly reviewed, so that's awesome. I think if they had have used some of those in their amps, they may have actually sold more. Fender definitely won't be shipping one of these out to me, unfortunately. They just don't see the value in that for whatever reason. I guess they're just so big that it doesn't matter. But that said, if I can find one at a local shop, I'm definitely gonna go down and check it out. If it ticks a lot of the boxes that I hope it ticks, I may end up with one, and that might actually mean the return of Mustang Monday. I get asked that nearly every live stream, when's Mustang Monday coming back? I put it off for a couple of reasons. A, I made 40 patches or so for the version 2 amps, and I just didn't really feel like I could take that anywhere else. That said, if these new amps are great, I might make another 10 patches, all being well. If you are watching on YouTube and you do like Mustang Monday, let me know what kind of sounds you'd like me to try to make. I'm not 100% certain I'm even going to end up with one of these amps, but if it does work out like that, I'll definitely do a Mustang Monday series again. So let me know in the comments whether you want artist presets, amp presets, or what. There's two different things. I can kind of imitate and copy, you know, classic iconic sounds off albums, or I can put it back to back with another amp and try to nail that particular sound. This process is hugely time consuming and a little laborious, but the result is usually pretty good. Most of the patches I made last time got a pretty positive review, so thank you so much for all your support with the Mustang Monday series. I don't plan on bringing it back unless I end up with one of these amps. In terms of which amp I'll get, odds are it'll either be the 100 or the 200. I have a feeling I'll be leaning towards the GT100. I really like the Mustang 3 in the end. That was by far my favorite out of all of them. I love the 4 as well. The portability and practicality of the 3 was just super cool. So it was super light and easy to get around. So I really dug it. If you have any other questions or comments about Mustang Monday or this section of the podcast, please leave all your comments on YouTube or at inthebluespodcast.com. Guitar Search Saturday has been a huge hit, so thanks so much to everyone who tunes in and watches that every single Saturday, or Guitar Find Friday if you live overseas. I want to thank everyone for their support with that and feedback as well. Now, after episode 10, I plan on giving it a bit of a break, so that'll be the end of the first season. I'm going to shoot some new green screen stuff as well to sort of enhance the next lot of videos. And the next lot of videos will hopefully be even better than the first. I love doing the Guitar Search Saturday videos. They've been a whole lot of fun. For those who are wondering as well, I'm probably going to replace the siren as of next season. I thought I might as well just keep it all consistent the first 10 episodes, and then I can sort of maybe mix it up a little bit after that. The first 4 or 5 episodes were all shot in one day. I just did the rounds. And I also got home. You might have noticed in the first few episodes, if you could see me, I had the same t-shirt on as the green screen stuff. All of that was just done on the fly, just sort of feeling it out and hoping for the best. I have some ways I can improve a lot of the stuff that I've done in there, including the camera stability, which has been, you know, was more of a problem in the early days. It's gotten better, but I have some plans on how to improve that as well. I also want to try and do some episodes in other parts of the world at some point. If I can organize some channel sponsorship, it will mean I'll be able to do a lot of the stuff I have in my head that financially I'm unable to do. I think Guitar Search Saturdays is just its own great little niche of videos on YouTube, and while it's relating to guitars, it's not just pumping out content of gear demos, all that kind of thing. I'm absolutely enjoying mixing the channel up, and I think it shows in my analytics as well about, you know, retention time's gone up, subscribers have gone up, view time's gone way up, which is awesome. Everything is on the up and up, so I'm going to keep mixing up the content, keeping people guessing about what's, you know, what I'm known for on the channel. As I mentioned, the reason why I wanted to get away from doing gear demos all the time was because I feel like YouTube has just overinflated products as opposed to actual good content. I don't mind watching gear demos, but I don't watch many of them anymore. I watch something I get value out of or amusement out of. That's about it. So that's what I'm trying to do with the channel. I feel like if you're a gear channel only, you're going to die a slow and painful death, or maybe a not so slow death as well. That's part of the reason I wanted to mix things up. I look at a lot of channels that were way bigger than me, for example, and I'm either overtaking them now in terms of views or watch time, all that kind of stuff, which is just amazing. So thank you everyone for the support. YouTube doesn't really rely so much on subscribers. It's more about how many views you get and how much watch time you're getting. That's where the algorithm's based. So if I keep my content fresh, unique, and original, which is something that you don't see a lot of anymore, and I'm not boasting, it's just fact, everyone's ripping off everybody else's ideas, then I'm hoping I can at least do something that will appeal to people without just continually pushing products and gear on people. One thing I pointed out a while back about why I didn't want to continue to do gear demos has proven itself to be true. I really felt like people were sick of just product videos, promoting companies and all that kind of stuff. There's definitely a place for that, But just doing that all the time isn't that fulfilling or interesting for me. And it's not, and I feel if I'm bored with it, you guys will probably be bored with it as well. And there's less of an interaction or point of view or conversation about a pedal as opposed to a video about a concept or an idea. So those kind of videos seem to be where my channel kind of does a little things a little bit differently to other channels. The podcast, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, has just taken off extremely well. People are enjoying it. I'm definitely going to try and mix it up. With that in mind, the Guitar Search Saturday videos are going to keep coming until I decide I've had enough. Might be two seasons, might be three seasons, might be four, who knows? But I know I'm going to run out of shops locally, so that means I have to do something either in different states or cities, or maybe overseas. We'll see how we go. How good is the Two Notes Torpedo Live? It's so good, I've used it on the majority of my pedal demos over the last year and a half or however long I've had it. It's just upped my productivity. It brings down my overall noise and everybody is happy. Not only that, it sounds extremely good. So for those who don't know, the Two Notes Torpedo Live is a load box with some digital wizardry on the inside. So what you do, say you've got a Fender Hot Rod Deluxe and the speaker connects to the amp, you disconnect that speaker, you plug the Two Notes Torpedo in, and that becomes the digital speaker, so to speak. It also becomes a room and a microphone. You can select what type of cabinet you want to use, you can select what type of microphone you want to use, mic placement, and these are referenced sound samples, so to speak, from those particular cabinets. They call them impulses. This allows you to record at any volume you like. You can record and listen to your analog amp going through the load box via headphones, or you can listen to it coming out of your studio monitors or whatever. These things are awesome. In my opinion, this was product of the year for me in 2016. It's just been one of the best things to up my productivity. I've also used it on albums where I produce music for other people. Instead of buying one of those massive isolation cabinets like a Randall or a Rivera, this will do exactly the same thing, except it's about this big. For those watching on YouTube, it's a rack unit size. It's nice and small, it's nice and light, and it sounds better. You might be thinking, yeah, but it's not analog. I've owned a Randall isolation cabinet. I modded it and got the most out of it, in my opinion, that I could. But A, they're still quite loud, even once you dampen a lot of the sound on the inside, and they just don't sound as good as the Two Notes. If you've got a Fender or a Marshall or any sort of bog standard amp, you can get on the Two Notes Torpedo interface and essentially download that particular speaker cabinet. There's extra microphones you can download and all of that kind of stuff as well. I'm actually going to shoot out a blind test between an amplifier and a microphone versus the amplifier and the Two Notes with the microphone and impulse on that. So that should be interesting. These things are the perfect studio tool. You'll get consistent recordings every single time. You can save a patch and a room preset or however you want to run it and get that same sound every single time when you're recording, which makes it great for tracking guitar parts or bass parts over the course of a few days. If you're a YouTuber or you produce your own music or help record other people, definitely check these things out. They're well worth the money. These aren't cheap, and a few people have commented, oh, they're just a glorified load box. They're worth their price in what you get back in productivity. You can also take these things to a gig. So if you're playing live, you can go direct to the PA without having the actual speaker on your amp on. That's great if you're playing at a cafe or something where you don't want to just blast the people that are sitting down right in front of you. These are a great tool for that as well. If you have any comments or questions about the Two Notes Torpedo Live, please let me know if you own one. Also let me know your thoughts on them. I'd be highly surprised if anyone who actually owns one of these things doesn't like it. This is a question I get a lot, and I tend not to go into too much detail, usually on a live stream, because these type of topics take up a lot of time. So I have no idea how long this part of the podcast is going to go for right now, but I thought I would give it a shot. This is about starting a YouTube channel or ways to grow your YouTube channel and things to think about. So I'm going to start off with the fundamentals and just a few things that will make what I believe to be a quicker rise in your subscriptions and views and all that kind of stuff. The first suggestion would be to start doing demos of stuff that's a little uncommon or different. Find a niche. Don't go demoing a tube screamer as your first video because you just won't get found. There's probably a million tube screamer demos on YouTube getting uploaded all the time. The ones that were uploaded years ago are the ones that generally are still at the top of the list. So don't start with the obvious stuff. Start with something a little bit different. Demo an obscure Japanese guitar or pedal or something random. Even demo something within a niche. So think to yourself, well, what can I do? A good example of this is Nick in the States. You know, he wants to do sub $500 guitars. Great idea. My niche would be, well, it's pretty broad now, but would be pedal demos. I was doing cheap pedal demos for a while. Also did a lot of shootouts, all that kind of stuff. I would say that's my niche now, as well as this podcast, Guitar Search Saturday. Find stuff for you that works and that's original and maybe slightly different to what everyone else is doing. This will definitely help you. This doesn't mean you can't demo a tube screamer pedal. I just don't think that would be a good starting point. You're wasting your time. Demo a guitar that you have that might not already have a load of, you know, a lot of demos up on YouTube for that particular one. Number two, this might be obvious to some folks, but maybe not obvious for others. Good camera, good lighting, and good sound. Right now I'm using one light box, which is two less than I would normally use if I was shooting a demo. Lighting is just one of those crucial things that a lot of people overlook. You can have a great camera and no lighting and it won't look very good. You could have an average camera with a good lighting and it will look amazing. So keep that in mind. Try to get your lighting consistent. You know, either use a microphone like this for your voice, an NT1 or whatever it is, by Rode, or get a shirt mic or something. And then you will go, well, how do I mix all of this together? So you'll have to spend time learning some software. If you're not already familiar with video editing suites, you're going to have to spend some time to learn either Final Cut Pro X, Sony Vegas, Adobe Premiere, or any of these other options that are out there. Using the onboard audio of your camera, it can work if you're at a distance, but some cameras aren't very good with that. It means the camera's generally going to compress the sound and drop it down if you're doing something loud. Then when you talk, you won't actually get heard for the first few moments. So if you're going to start out without having any presence on YouTube, start out strong. Good camera, good lighting, good sound. The three essentials. When you actually go to put your video together, do something that's maybe a little bit unique to you. Don't go copying someone else's format. The reason I say that is, well, people will sort of pick up on that kind of stuff and it will mean you won't have the same sort of success on YouTube if you're blatantly sort of copying other channels. Do something unique to you, make it a little bit different, be yourself on camera and actually have yourself on camera. The reason why a lot of people come back to a YouTube channel is the person that's standing in front of the lens. It's got more to do with that almost than technical capabilities on a guitar and all that kind of stuff, especially in the guitar niche. It's more about personality. I think that's why some channels really succeed and others don't. Irrespective of how fine or how average the guitar player is, there's certain channels out there that will do extremely well based on the personality, and it's fun to come back and get to know these people. I kind of feel like I've developed a trust with a huge part of the community here at In The Blues. It's one of those things where it's taken years to do that. It's not something that happens immediately. So if you're going to do YouTube, you got to think about it as a long-term thing. And the more that you're in front of the camera and the more comfortable you get, the better the channel will work. Another huge plus with the YouTube algorithm is to basically put content out regularly. So what that means is pick 3-4 days a week or 2 days a week or however you want to do it, and upload consistently. So you might want to put a video up on Monday and one on Thursday or whatever. Have them scheduled for that exact time every week so people that are subscribed will know that a whole new video is coming. Depending on where you live, the release time is somewhat important once you develop your subscriber base, but that's something that probably be unique to wherever you live. So keep an eye on your analytics and go through the live 48-hour graph and see where your peak times were and try to release videos around then. Another huge thing to think about as well is the logo. Come up with a logo. Don't use your face. I've mentioned this a few times. Your face will change, a logo won't. Branding is extremely important for YouTube growth. A lot of people just don't seem to realize how important this is. I actually had an interview with Google a while back, and they gave me some suggestions on what I should do to grow the channel. And that was the number one suggestion: get some branding. Since I did that, everything grew. So it's absolutely essential to your growth on YouTube and for your presence. So if someone searches a video of mine, they'll see the logo if they like that particular video. And if they don't, it can shoot you in the foot. But if they like your video and then they see another one, they go, hey, same logo. It's almost like instinctive, subconscious thing. They'll click on it and watch more. Another quick tip is use playlists. This is something that a lot of people just don't seem to do. Playlists are super important. It's almost like anytime you create a new playlist, it's kind of like uploading a new video. It's activity on your channel, you're creating a new link, all of that kind of stuff. So playlists and relevant playlists are super important for your channel to do well. Creating a good YouTube video is all about the content more than it is about how great you can play guitar or about how well you can talk. It's about a combination of personality, information, and people leaving with a sense they got something out of that video. So keep that in mind. Anytime you create a video, say, can I actually watch this till the end? And if the answer is no, you might want to tailor your stuff a little bit differently as well. This is a continual thing for me. I always look back on videos I made even a few weeks ago and I went, man, what was I thinking? I could have shortened this, or I should have made it a bit longer or whatever. It's things that I take away from every single video that I make to try to make the next one better. Another suggestion is when you're starting out, plan out your first video or first few videos. Have a format that works for you. Get a little whiteboard or a piece of paper and write down what sections you want in this particular video. And that can be used as a template maybe for, say, pedal demos or amp demos or whatever. You can, of course, tweak this along the way, but at least then your videos will be consistent. You won't have one that's sort of like completely random to the next one. That's what I'm getting at. This topic is huge, and I could talk about it for over an hour easily, but I won't bore everybody. The last point I want to make is be interactive with your community. A one-way street channel isn't going to do very well. I've seen channels that are a lot bigger than mine kind of suffer because they never ended up giving back. Even in the comment sections, they just never replied. They just didn't care. So if you're going to do a YouTube channel, you don't have to reply to every comment, but make an effort to reply to a handful a day or two handfuls a day or whatever. So make sure you reply to people. If you get sent an email or a message on Facebook or whatever, if you've got a Facebook page, try to get back to as many people as you can. Due to the size of my network, it's essentially now impossible for me to get back to everybody on YouTube, but I still make a really good effort. Usually when a video goes live, if I'm still awake, I just schedule them at the nighttime, I'll generally reply to the first handful there. I'll check it the next morning and do more replies that way as well. You can, of course, just put aside, say, an hour a week or 2 hours a week and reply to comments that way, or the ones that you feel you can offer some expertise on if you have an answer for them. The good thing is once you build up a community, a lot of other people will say, I always get asked what pickups are in that guitar, even though I say it at the start of the video. And generally someone else in the community will reply. So it takes the load off. It's awesome once your channel actually gets established and it grows. While subscribers are good for bragging rights, it doesn't almost matter sometimes as well. What I mean by that is only a small portion of your subscribers will watch your videos as soon as they go up. A lot of traffic will come from suggested videos, which is something that YouTube has been amazing with. They've changed up that algorithm. Someone said they might be getting rid of it, but I haven't seen that. I've seen it almost be more relevant in suggested videos now than it's ever been. So don't get too put off. If you don't have a lot of subscribers, just keep an eye on your views, on your comments, and your watch time. These are important things. If you do have any particular comments or questions that I haven't covered in this part of the podcast, please let me know and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Leave all your comments on YouTube or at intheblues.podcast.com. Good news coming up on either my channel or Philip McKnight's channel. I'm trying to organize this YouTuber Q&A session where there'll either be three or four relatively large YouTubers getting together to answer everybody's questions. Ideally, what I'd love to do with this is have four of them. So everybody on my channel, everybody on Philip's channel, everybody on these other two channels. I'm not going to name them yet because they haven't all confirmed. I think three out of four have, but just in case. So that's the plan. With three out of the four channels, we're all about the same size in views. I think Philip has probably the most subscribers out of all of us. But that said, it should be a really great idea to collaborate and get together and have a chat for the first time in person. We've all emailed each other back and forth a few times, and I've helped other channels get gear and vice versa. So that said, it'll be great to do this. I think people will get a kick out of it. There won't be any controversial kind of dudes on this live Q&A. It'll just be guys like myself and Philip and two other guys who I know you'll like as well. It should be a bit of fun, and it should be a great way to collaborate. And maybe if it goes over okay, we can do it once every few months or something like that. All of these YouTubers I have on my live stream, or I go on their live stream or whatever, you'll know all of them. So it should be a lot of fun. Even if you're not subscribed to them, it might be the window of opportunity to check out their channels as well. The kind of guys I wanted to do this with were guys that reminded me of kind of what I'm doing with my channel, what I'm trying to do. They have either unique content, good temperament, and are very helpful when it comes to the Q&A stuff as well. Thanks for listening. My name's Shane. This has been the In The Blues podcast for May 5th, 2017. Man, I can't believe it. The year is absolutely flying. What can I say? It's going to be over before I know it. If I can get a sponsor on the In The Blues channel coming up soon, it might mean I can get overseas to do some extra cool stuff in terms of video. So just fingers crossed that actually happens. If not, there's other alternatives I have to get my ass over this. So I try my best to sort out some sort of way for me to get over there. Ideally, it would be doing what I love and what I'm continually doing for peanuts. But, you know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. It's as simple as that. I'll take what I do any day over putting a suit back on, unless it's only a short-term solution to a problem. So yeah, thanks again for listening, folks, and don't forget, you can check me out at facebook.com/intheblues. I'm also on Instagram at intheblues with an underscore at the end, and same with Twitter. Lots more good stuff on the way, including an interview which I should be shooting pretty soon. Catch you soon.